to Taking a Look at Calvary with Dr. Marami T. Alexander, coming to you live every Wednesday morning from 10:30 a.m. until 11 a.m. on Big Gospel Express, 1570 a.m., WBGX Chicago.
God bless you, WBGX family. This is Dr. Marami on this morning live. I am so grateful this morning for salvation and for the Holy Ghost. We are still here. We bless God for health and strength this morning, bringing us through this pandemic. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. I want to say thank you to the engineers and to Carl for always just looking out for this broadcast. And I just have been enjoying the music. We are standing. We are still here. We're standing on the promises of Jesus. I'm so grateful this morning how I met this young lady, Shannon Savoy, who's the guest speaker this morning on. Shannon Savoy created Narc Free Living LLC to break the chains of abuse. Narc Free Living LLC discusses narcissistic behavior and the spiritual perspective. As a survivor herself of physical, sexual, emotional, and narcissistic abuse, she understands firsthand how abuse impacts our spiritual, psychological well-being. Narc Free Living strives to empower and inspire to create survivors to share their stories and walk in healing by the power of Jesus Christ. It is her mission. It is her mission to take down the stigma of narcissistic abuse so they will no longer hide in the shadows. It is the mission to share the gospel, raise awareness, and support survivors in breaking the chain of that abuse. I am so grateful. Usually I do not go on social media, but I went on there for a total different reason, and we linked. And I thank God for this powerful woman of God. I was actually listening this morning to her at 2:18 a.m. So now it's over to Shannon, and I just praise God for her as she goes forth and she's going to close out.
Amen. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I count it all joy and just all praises to God. So I'm going to get right into it. So again, I'm Shannon Savoy of Narc Free Living. And I started this ministry, as Dr. mentioned, after finding myself in a narcissistic marriage. And I come to realize that I was raised in a narcissistic home. So I realized that if I had just found out this information, there must be others. And you know, when we get out of something, we want to make sure that we go back and pull somebody else up to help them as well. So we want to break those chains and help others get to the root cause of the issue, because that's where the healing is. So God showed me that people need healing. We need warriors and fighters, especially in these times. So I want people to understand who they are in Jesus Christ. And as long as we are operating in generational cycles and sin, it separates us from God, and we cannot be our true selves and fulfill his destiny that lies within all of us, okay? So, of course, it starts with accepting Jesus Christ and knowing who God says we are. And God says that we are more than conquerors when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, okay? So today I'll be discussing narcissism from a spiritual perspective. And thank you for listening and staying right here with me. Of course, I'm not a therapist, but I am someone who has extensive history with narcissists, and God gives us the gift of discernment. So as a follower of Christ, there is no better teacher than the Holy Spirit. So let's discuss the signs of narcissists along with the top three or four, depending on how much time we have, questions that people most often ask. So, what is a narcissist? From the psychological definition describes narcissist as a personality disorder. It is a mental condition in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance, a deep need for excessive attention and admiration, They often have troubled relationships and a lack of empathy for others. But behind this mask of what appears to be extreme confidence lies a very fragile self-esteem. They are vulnerable to the slightest criticism and will hold it against you, and you won't even know it. All right? So a personality disorder causes problems in many areas of life, such as relationships, work, and they are very rampant in the church, okay, in schools, and they have a lot of, usually a lot of financial issues because they're having to cover up so much. And people with narcissistic personality disorder may generally be unhappy and disappointed when they're not given special favors or treatment that they believe they deserve because of that inflated ego. So they often have infidelity issues and find themselves in unfulfilling relationships because with a narcissist, it's never enough. Okay, that spirit gets in them and they want what they want when they want it, and they will do whatever it takes to get it. And others may not enjoy being around them, and they can only handle people usually in short doses because they can only, it's a mask. They're masking who they really are behind this facade of a seemingly nice person. So that's the psychological perspective. I mean, we know that we are flesh and we're spirits, okay? That's how God made us. So at our core, we are flesh. I'm sorry, we are spirits. So from the spiritual realm, narcissism is dealing with spirits of the Jezebel, Leviathan, Python, and a host of other spirits. Okay, so we know how Jezebel operated in the Bible with her and Elijah and what she tried to do in the principality of Baal, okay? And then we know Leviathan, that is the lion spirit. And we know Python, that's dealing with marine spirits, okay? We find places that have a lot of bodies of water. Those are those places that have marine spirits, and that's divination and witchcraft and other things. So narcissists usually embody a lot of those spirits, okay? So that's why we take this very seriously, because if we do not, it can cost you. All right? All right. So why is narcissism so prevalent, especially in the church? Well, a lot of pastors and spiritual leaders are narcissists, to be totally honest. Of course, if you have a good Bible-based church that is preaching the word of God and the gospel, then stick with it. But if not, get away from these people, okay? Because they cause chaos and confusion. And we know God is not the author of anything chaotic or anything that operates in confusion, okay? And the church is so enamored with anyone in leadership. This is not taught in the body of Christ. So it is able to go undetected and unexposed and is not cast out. And we know when something is not cast out, it just grows and it gets bigger. So narcissism is nothing new. We see it all throughout the Bible. And wherever there is someone called to break chains like an Elijah, a Joseph, a Joshua, then we know there is going to be a Jezebel and an Ahab, okay? And without, Jezebel can't do what she does without people that enable her. And I say her, but we know a narcissist can be male or female. But we know there always has to be a group of people enabling the narcissist or the spirit of Jezebel to be able to do what they do. So let me tell you quickly how I found myself married to a narcissistic sociopath. And then we'll discuss the signs and what we can do to kind of evade or get around this. So my ex-husband and I dated briefly, and it was a relationship that I had not expected at that time. I was waiting on God, so I felt like, okay, this is it, God, right? Oh, wrong. I was so wrong. So we have to be careful, because when we are searching for love, sometimes the devil will get to you first, right? So he will send you everything that you thought that you wanted. I had a relationship with God, but I was not rooted, and I did not use discernment, and I did not examine the fruit thoroughly. Because if I had, I would have, we were both in the military at the time, so it was a level of comfort there. And I should have still did a background check and all other things, but I didn't, because that comfort level was there. I did not wait on God like I should have, because if I did, he would have shown me the truth. And this is why God expects us to guard our hearts. So shortly after we were married, his true self was revealed. It started with the psychological games, wanting to argue, doing things intentionally, the gaslighting. He was very emotional, and it was a real emotional roller coaster. The first time I saw the mask lift, oh, it scared me so badly. We had went out that evening, and I really wasn't into it. I was a Christian, and supposedly he was too, but he wanted to go out to a nightclub. So that should have that was a little red flag. We have to be careful when those red flags pop up. So we left shortly after, and he was drinking. That's another red flag. So we have to, when those red flags come up, we have to pay attention, because that's God telling us to slow it down and to pay attention. So when we returned home, he started an argument. I do not like to argue. So I walked away. I went into the bedroom, and he was on my heels. I walked into the ensuite bathroom and tried to close the door. He pushed that door so hard, and then he pushed my head. I was scared and could not believe this was happening. Of course, later on, he tried to minimize it and make up for it by being extra attentive and giving gifts and things of that nature. And for the next 2 years that we were married, it felt like I was in a Lifetime movie. I felt like I was outside of my body watching someone else's life from that day forth. So we went through a lot of highs and lows during that time. He was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. One day he was nice, and one day he was not so nice. I knew something was seriously wrong. I began to Google his behavior, and I came across narcissism. He checked every block, and it explained everything that I was going through at that time. We went through all the cycles of abuse, and I'll hit on those very briefly. The tension, this is the cycle of abuse. You'll have the tension, you'll have the violence, then you'll reconcile, and then the honeymoon phase. So the incident happens, and at that time, the abuser feels upset about something, and that's when the person that's being abused is walking on eggshells. You don't want to say anything that may, make them angry or upset. And then it goes into and that's the violence stage happens right there. And then it goes into the reconciliation. And that's when, they kind of sugarcoat things and they buy you flowers and gifts and to make up for what they just did to you. And it doesn't have to be physical abuse. It can also be psychological, emotional. It can be something sexual. It can be financial abuse. The abuse comes in many forms. And then it goes into the honeymoon phase where it's kind of like calm and now we're back. We're back good and we wanted to stay there. But we know with abuse, a tiger does not change its stripes, okay? So they go right back into those cycles and it's repeated. So after that, after years of that or a couple of years of that, I was tired and I knew I had to do something because I knew this was not God's best for me. It was not God's plan for me. So one night I prayed around my house and I asked God to show me what I was dealing with. I prayed in the spirit and said out loud that if anything was not of God, that it had to go. So brothers and sisters, do you know the next day all hell broke loose in our home? That spirit rose up in him because we know this, that was a spirit, right? He got into it with my daughter and I got between them and I knew that was it. My daughter called the police, and when they came, I smoothed it over. I told them we had a disagreement, and they left, okay? So I didn't want the police involved in it at that time, but I know that was a mistake that I made. But we recovered from that. So that night, my children and I, we actually slept with knives under our bed. This is how scared we were. And I believe he was in the living room. I couldn't tell from the security cameras. I told them to lock their doors and do not come out unless they had their knives, and they called me. Around 3 or 4 a.m., they called me because they had to go to the restroom. So I walked them out. I looked out. I didn't see him. We all had our knives. So can you imagine this, living like this? And I went to the bathroom with them and stood outside. And then once I got back to my room, I broke down. I said, I will never live my life. This was not how we lived before him. We had a good life. God has always been with me. And I knew this was not God's plan for my life, and I would never allow my children to live like this again. After I came back and locked the door, I called the domestic violence shelter. They told me to go to the courthouse, and I received a temporary restraining order in a matter of hours. He could not come near me or my kids again. I prayed over that house again that night, and it was like a load was lifted off. We were so happy. We packed his things in garbage bags, appropriately so, right? And the only time he set foot in that house again was to retrieve his belongings with the sheriff and his commander. I went through physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual abuse at the hands of someone who said they loved God and made a covenant before God to protect and honor and provide. And he did anything but. The thing with abusers is they do not always abuse. We went to church, we did day nights, and all the things that married people do. It was extreme highs and lows. But I was tormented inside. That gives the person abused false hope. I did not want to grieve God's heart. I falsely thought that God wanted me in this marriage. God let me know that abuse, adultery, and neglect break the marriage covenant. The Lord described, the Lord says that the man is supposed to be the protector and the provider, okay? And he was not doing that. And God's going to hold him accountable. God holds a man accountable for what goes on in his house, okay? And furthermore, abuse, even verbal abuse, distorts God's image by failing to create the life through words, because we know death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? So, yes, when I finally told someone I trusted, they said, Shannon, God does not want you abused. And before that moment, I thought God wanted me to stay and fight in that marriage. But God showed me the only way he can change him is for him to be broken and come to God on his own. God does not impose our will onto, he does not impose his will onto ours. He gave us a beautiful gift of free will. So he had to be wanting to change, and he did not. So I knew I had to go on. So I went on with my life, lots of therapy, lots of prayer, and it was during my brokenness that I truly found Christ. And I became all sold out for God. It was no turning back. And I said, God, not my will, but your will. And eventually today I am remarried, and my husband and children live peacefully together, okay? After that, I had to do a lot of soul searching, a lot of inner work, and I had to ask myself some hard questions. How did I end up here? How did I end up in an abusive marriage? If anybody knows me, they know that I'm a strong woman. So how did I end up there? And God showed me he was not the first narcissist. I was raised in a home with narcissists, and that shocked me to my core. So, let's see. What are some of the signs? How do you know someone is a narcissist? So I know I just did a lot, but I just wanted to give you, you know, paint a picture of how somebody who seems strong and seems resilient can find themselves there. Okay, so if you don't know the signs, you may not be aware. So they can be charming, they come across as humble, but inside they are really wolves in sheep's clothing. They can be sweet, they can love bomb you, they have ulterior motives, they take advantage of others to get what they want through manipulation. Okay, they cannot take constructive criticism very well, and they are nice until they are not so nice. They can be vindictive, wanting to, and then you won't even know if you're upset, if they're upset with you. They won't tell you a lot of times. The covert narcissist will not tell you. They'll just wait until you bring something up, and then they'll unleash, you know, whatever they wanted to tell you really before, and you'll be like, well, where did this come from? You know, I thought that was resolved. So that's a telltale sign. They run over your boundaries. Rules are not for them. Rules are just for us mere mortals, right? They do the silent treatment. They use your weaknesses against you, and they sing your praises until they fall out with you. You can be the best thing since sliced bread, but once that switch flips, then you are the worst thing, okay? They can be aggressive and demanding. They take you off your center. And what you want to do with a narcissist is definitely, or someone that you think has these traits, is slow down so you can think, because that they don't want you to think everything is rushed, like do it now. You want to make sure that you slow down and you talk to God and ask God for his guidance. You know, you don't want to be led by men, you want to be led by God. And they can turn it on and off. And yes, just like Satan, when he took Jesus up on the mount and tried to tempt him, they know scripture, but they will manipulate it for their gain. All right. And once you see it, you cannot unsee it. And it's confusing because they can be charming and fun otherwise. But when you tell them no, when you get on their bad side, that's when you see the shift. All right. So how do you detect one? Discernment. Discernment. Ask God what you are dealing with, and he will show you. All right? And you set boundaries. And if you tell them no, like I said before, if you tell them no, that's a key indicator. You should be able to tell someone no and not have them ask you a million questions, because we know no is a complete sentence. They see people as resources and not people. So we must examine the fruit. All right? And when another telltale sign is actions don't line up with words. You tell me one thing and you show me another. And how does one receive closure from following abandonment from a narcissist? You break the soul tie. You have to loose what you lose here on earth, you loose in heaven, okay? So you bind up that soul tie, and you bind it up here on earth, but it's bind up in heaven, and you cast it out, and you tell those demons, just like Jesus did, to go. And you come out of agreement with that. And then you have to begin to heal from what drew you to them. And you cast out any spirits of rejection, any abandonment, and you ask God to help you. It is also okay to seek therapy. And don't ever expect closure from a narcissist. You have to just go on with your life. So lessons learned. Wait on God. He will give you confirmation. There will be no chaos or confusion. We have to heal whatever was in us that was attracted to the narcissist. Okay? We are no, and understand that we are no one savior. The Bible says we each have to work out our own salvation. And you want to get away from these people. A lot of people think that you cannot love from a distance. God absolutely says we have to forgive, but we don't have to be in relationship with these people. Okay? So when people show you who they are, believe them. All right? Let's see. What else? In closing, how you measure true love. You replace... What did 1 Corinthians tell us? 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 says that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. Okay, so you replace your partner, your friend, your coworker. If someone says they love you, you replace their name with the word love. And if it doesn't measure up, then that's not true love, okay? But God's love is the standard. So God wants the very best for us. Is what you have God's best? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We have the power through him to cast out generational patterns, spirits, and anything that is not of God. The blood of Jesus conquers it all. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Do not let him have your birthright. Take it back. Take your power back. We have the power to break those chains. All right, guys, this is Shannon Savoy. If you have any questions, you can find me on www.narcfreeliving.com. And I'm on Narc Free Living LLC on all social media platforms. If you like any more information, please reach out. Please send me a message, an email. All that is available on narcfreeliving.com or on social media. And I'll be more than glad to pray with you, to guide you. And of course, if you're in that situation, get out of it. Don't even play with it, but seek the Holy Spirit and allow him to direct your path. And remember, you have the power to break those chains. Thank you, guys.
Amen. We bless God for Shannon. This is an awesome blessing. And I thank God for her, God connecting us as women of God, a holy connection. And this is not taught in the church. I grew up in the Church of God in Christ and holiness, and subjects like this are, they don't speak it often. And I thank God for her, because I know when I was really speaking in church and my mom was over the women, a lot of times God would give me messages like this. And it's really awesome to see someone who understands and understands this subject, the Jezebel spirit and spiritual warfare and racism. So Shannon will be back. I bless God for this, and you all be blessed. See you next week.
Tuning in to Taking a Look at Calvary every Wednesday morning from 10:30 a.m. until 11 a.m. on Big Gospel Express, 1570 a.m. WVGX Chicago.